Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, members of the Community Catholic Church clergy gather to worship, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition, and you can join in by clicking on the links that you see on the show page below. And now, let's celebrate our wonderful connection with Creator and prepare our hearts for worship. Welcome to our service of worship on this Palm Sunday morning. Today marks the beginning of Holy Week, an emotional and spiritually enriching walk with Christ through the last days of his life to the cross, and ultimately Easter morning. As we cannot present a Palm Sunday procession for internet listeners, our focus this morning is on the other part of the Sunday's liturgy, the Passion of Jesus. Our gospel today will be in the form of a dramatic reading, and it is a difficult story to hear, but we know that there is a happy ending. We hope that this and our service of worship will inspire and speak to your hearts this day. We're blessed to have participating in our service Bishop Jean, Dean Zam, and the Reverend Stephen, Vera, Anita, Janet, Liz, and Chaplain Sandy and Denise. Let us take a moment now and prepare our hearts for worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Dear friends, God is with us. As we connect here today with open hearts, the presence of Christ surrounds and affirms us. We are one in this divine embrace of spirit. As we open our hearts for worship, let us take a moment and offer to God the things that we've said and done that we wish to confess.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The collect of the day for this Palm Sunday. Almighty and ever-living God, in tender love for all our human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take our flesh and suffer death upon a cruel cross. May we follow the example of his great humility and share in the glory of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now we invite the Reverend Vera McGuire to share with us the first reading.
This is a reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 to 9a. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now the Reverend Stephen McGuire will lead us in our psalm.
The psalm for this morning is Psalm 31, starting at the 9th verse. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of my adversaries, the horror of my neighbors, an object of dread of my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and my persecutors. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
And now we invite Chaplain Denise Waldron to share with us our second reading.
Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now a dramatic reading of our Holy Gospel, according to Matthew chapter 26, beginning at the 14th verse, to chapter 27, ending at the 66th.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
What will you give me if I betray him?
They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus.
Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?
Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said,
truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.
And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another,
surely not I, Lord.
Surely not I, Lord.
One who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born.
Judas, who betrayed him, said,
surely not I, Rabbi.
You have said so.
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying,
take, eat, this is my body.
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never drink from this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom.
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
you will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you."
Jesus said to him,
"Truly I tell you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times."
Peter said to him,
"Even though I must die with you, I will never deny you."
And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. And he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want."
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
"So could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into this night of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak."
Again he went away for the second time and prayed,
"My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done."
Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said,
"Greetings, Rabbi,"
and kissed him. Jesus said to him,
"Friend, do what you are here to do."
Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you not think that I could appeal to my Father, and he would at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which says it will happen in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I was a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching you, and you did not arrest me. But all has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said,
"This fellow said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'"
Then the high priest stood up and said,
"Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?"
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
"I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God."
Jesus said to him,
you have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard this blasphemy. What is your verdict?
They answered,
He deserves death.
Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying,
Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said,
You also were with Jesus the Galilean.
But he denied it before all of them, saying,
I do not know what you are talking about.
When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders,
This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.
Again he denied it with an oath.
I do not know the man.
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you.
Then Peter began to curse, and he swore an oath.
I do not know the man.
At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, You will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. He said,
I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.
But they said,
What is that to us? See it to it yourself.
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said,
It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money.
After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury the foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
You say so.
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?
But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them,
Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream I had about him. Now the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them,
Which of the two do you want me to release for you?
And they said,
Barabbas.
Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?
All of them said,
Let him be crucified.
Why? What evil has he done?
But they shouted all the more,
Let him be crucified.
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.
His blood be on us and on our children.
So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'"
Then bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. Noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?"
That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"This man is calling for Elijah."
At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But others said,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him."
Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said,
"Truly this man was God's son."
Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people. He has been risen from the dead, and the last deception would be worse than the first.
You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can.
So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And now we invite the Reverend Liz Lavazu to share with us her homily.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be accepted in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Good morning. Today's sermon, Palm Sunday sermon, is based on the last week of the life of Jesus. As we listen to the gospel this morning, we were able to walk with Jesus through his final week. As Jesus faced this situation, we can only wonder what it felt like to have less than a week to live. He entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to the thousands that were there to greet him, but little did they know what was coming. The disciples were already given hints and even outright declarations from Jesus that the Son of Man will be betrayed and handed over to the sinners and killed. They seemed to ignore this. It may be that the disciples shied away actually from imagining or even admitting that a loved one might die, especially Jesus. To the crowds and the disciples, this day was a moment of incredible potential and excitement. They have seen the miracles that Jesus was capable of, and who knew what that power might do if they can convince him to turn against Rome. And his making of such a bold entry into the hearts of the Romans' stolen power will surely be a benefit for them. But truly, what a lonely moment this must have been for Jesus, to be surrounded by all these people calling out your name and being burdened, knowing how short-lived this will be. By entering Jerusalem on a donkey, with the crowds laying down their cloaks and palms before him and shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, this was the point of no return for Jesus. As we immersed ourselves into the scriptures today in worship, moving from the palm procession to the passion, a crisis is deliberately provoked within ourselves. Within less than a week, the crowds went from adulation to Jesus to rage-filled demand for him to be crucified. This must have felt so awkward and painful to them. Even the disciples, in fear, were alienating him, insisting that they did not know who he was. Their fear prevented them from being present with Jesus' fear. Somehow, this feels all too familiar. Today begins Holy Week, and it is our opportunity to immerse ourselves in the move from false joy of Palm Sunday to a joy that is centered around expectations of power and reward through the pain of finding that our faith is often so weak when Jesus needs us the most. Then finally, to the deep and profound joy of the day of resurrection, the day of forgiveness and new life. We have the opportunity to walk with Jesus in real time as the hourglass runs out, as he struggles with the knowledge that he has less than a week to live. During the week leading up to Good Friday, Jesus has many struggles, struggles that we heard in the Gospel of Matthew. And of course, Good Friday being the day that Jesus died on the cross for us. This is the terrible risk that we take by committing to walk with Jesus through Holy Week, that our hearts will be torn in two. But Jesus' life and our emotions were not the only things destroyed on Good Friday. The barrier between God, humanity, the record of our sins, the reign of death, and finally our grief and fear was torn in two. If we are willing not to skip from Palm Sunday to Easter Day, not to avoid the stains of darkness during these upcoming days, but to enter it into with Jesus and stand in solidarity with him, the healing that we experience with his resurrection is twice as deep. Dear friends, today we can make a choice. We can choose to be present with Jesus as his disciples throughout the week, even confronting the ways in which we betray him, loving him as we see him struggle for the courage to endure his death. Or we can hide away, unwilling to let our composure be torn into two with a temple curtain. To make this journey with Jesus, all we need are the scriptures and our hearts to be open. Like Jesus, our fear, our grief, and our illusions about ourselves have less than a week to live. So let's spend this week with Jesus. Amen.
Or just that Liz's homily.
With confidence and trust, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church throughout the world, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the Church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace in the world, that a spirit of respect and reconciliation may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For grace to amend our lives and to further the reign of God, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. And now our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are in communion with each other and all with Creator. We are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God and give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ, reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brothers and sisters, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forevermore. Amen.
Forth in the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.
Oh, no.